swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Here you are, Nancy. Home the same night.
The story of my life.
You have a good time?
Great.
But isn't everybody who gets to hear me make a speech at the county newspaper dinner?
You were sensational. Only Kate should have been there, not me.
Well, Kate wasn't. You were a smash hit.
Yeah, with all those guys and their wives.
You could have had a perfectly good date, honey, but you wanted to come with me.
Yeah, I did, David. I guess I thought it would be sort of different.
You better go in before you wake the whole house up.
Oh, they're up anyhow. I'm 18 years old, and whenever I come home and Mom hears the car stop, bing, the lights go on. Okay, I'll go in.
Why don't you go off to college, Nancy?
No, not while I can still scream. But I'm going to have to go somewhere if I don't get any answer to that ad I put in your paper.
Give it time. Come on, I'll see you to the door.
Hey, David, do you think Kate has a real thing going with Tony Cushing?
I wouldn't say that was my business, or yours.
I certainly think it's your business. Haven't you got any fights?
I sure have, and I'm going to demonstrate it in a minute if you don't get out of this car and let me get my sleep.
How old are you, David?
You know darn well how old I am.
45.
34, and you know it.
How can you only be 34 and sound so much like my father? Were you ever married?
What is this?
A girl should know everything she can about a man before she goes out with him, Mother said.
I'll send Mother a resume tomorrow. But don't count on going out with me again. Come on, kid.
David, have you ever kissed a girl goodnight?
Often. Especially with her father standing in the doorway.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Dad!
Oh, hi, Jim.
Hello, David. Fine night, isn't it? Oh, thanks for bringing my little girl home.
Dad.
I had to fight my way through half the guys in the paper, but I took care of them.
You two can drop dead.
Oh, have a good time, honey?
Oh, for Belhaven, it was a blast. Only the good luck from my deed sure ran out.
Oh, is that what those things around your neck are?
Yeah, Kate gave them to me. They were like the ones her husband had made for her once. Only they weren't quite the same.
I see.
Well, anybody for the hustle? Oh, is that Mom in the window?
Mm-hmm. See her at the car stop.
Instant togetherness, that's us. See? They were all afraid you'd seduce me. Bye, lover boy.
You got a problem there, Jim.
I think maybe you've got the problem, David.
I'm serious. That kid is about ready to bust out.
No, Nancy will be all right. When she gets a job.
Where these days?
Well, she's counting a lot on you, David.
Why don't you let her go to the city if that's what she wants?
Oh, we couldn't stop her if that's what she really wanted. No, she doesn't. Some guy in the city let her down. She's not talking about it, but whatever happened this summer left her at loose ends.
She sure doesn't know what she wants now. Or maybe she does, and that's worse.
I appreciate your taking her out.
Jim, I'm not the one to do it. She got me when I realized Kate wasn't coming tonight.
Oh, you've seen Kate since she got back?
Yeah.
Well, I came up on the train with her. And it's the first time that she's been so candid with me.
Am I supposed to ask about what?
Well, I didn't
For know. For God's sake, Jim, let's quit waltzing around the subject like a couple of sweet old ladies. I know Cushing's married. You and me both.
Mm-hmm. Kate told me.
And Joy?
Oh, no. No, Joy would take it pretty big.
Well, I take it pretty big. I've got my idea of married guys who run after every chick. The guy's a louse.
Maybe.
I don't get you, Jim.
Well, I haven't your interest, of course, but I give Kate more credit. She's not easily taken in.
She was once.
Well, she was Nancy's age when she married Tom. She's developed a hell of a lot of character since then. And she'll do the right thing.
Uphold the tribal honor?
No, Kate's out of the tribe now. I want to see her do the right thing by Kate.
Jim, you don't sound like yourself. You're supposed to be a fine, upstanding family man, example of
the
community.
And you can stow it, friend. Look, maybe the guy is stuck in a bad deal. It happens. All I know is the way Kate looked at him in the station.
Well, that's telling it like it is.
And I'm sorry, David. I know how you feel.
I'm beginning to wonder if I know.
Say, maybe you know. What's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra-rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula. To know you're the best you can be.
Thanks for going out with me, Kate.
It was fun, wasn't it?
It was more than that. Kate, I had to see you today. I tell you, when I get into that city, dealing with the kind of people I do, you become like a dream. I'm not sure you're real.
I'm not sure any of this is real, Tony.
It's not always going to be like this.
Neither of us knows that.
I know it. And I promise
you... No rash promises, please. Let's say we had fun and let it go at that.
I hate to leave you outside this big, dark, empty house.
There's a light in the hall. Mrs. Jessup's in the back. I'll be okay.
I'm sure you will be. That's not what I had in mind.
I'm not going to ask you in, Tony.
I didn't think you would. I've got a few things to clear up before we go down that road.
I think so.
Do you realize what you've just told me?
What have I just told you?
That at least we have a road, you and I. One we both want. And that's a lot. Isn't it, darling?
Yes.
Now, you go on in. I better get started. I have a long drive to the city.
To the city? I thought you were going up to your friends, the Bensons?
No, that's next Saturday.
Oh.
Which reminds me, you haven't given me your answer yet. Will you come to their anniversary party with me, or do you need more time to think about it? What is it?
I've thought about it.
You'll come?
No, Tony, I won't.
That's a pretty quick decision.
No, it isn't. It's been on my mind all evening.
And that's where you come out. So all this talk we've just had doesn't mean anything, really, huh?
Yes, it does. That's why I'm not going to the party with you.
I don't always get you, Kate.
I know. How many girls have you taken to Benson parties?
I don't know. What's that got to do with it?
Nothing, really, but... I'd be another one.
You couldn't be. Now, anybody who knows me
would be looking me over.
Okay, Kate. We'll do it your way. Now, if you change your mind...
Tony, I don't want to go to the Bensons with you.
Yeah, well, I got that much pretty clear. But you know I have to go.
Of course.
Well, maybe I can stop off and see you on the way up. We can have a drink, a few minutes together.
I'll be here.
Good night, Kate. Hey, wait a minute. There's somebody stuck a message in the door. Here.
It's a telegram.
No, it's just a copy. They phoned the message in.
Oh, it's from Isabel.
She's met a mad Russian.
Oh, not this time. Arrived city Saturday at 4, British Airways, homesick.
Wow.
Love Isabel. Oh, Tony, I think she really is. Well, if I had any doubts, that takes care of the Benson party. I'm going to meet her.
We'll both meet her.
Well, you can't.
I'll have 5 hours in which to meet her, drive you both up here, and get up to Stonehenge.
If you can do it...
It's settled. Good night, darling. I've got to have a little luck sometime. You go on in now. Don't get cold.
Good night, Tony.
Night.
Nice night, Kate.
David.
That guy can really fan the breeze.
Oh, have you been standing out there?
No, I drove by. I saw you in the doorway and decided I'd better talk to you. Can I come in for one split second?
Oh, David, of course.
Old Shoe David, that's me. Mm. Safe as a mousetrap. Look, I got home to find this under the door, a cable from Isabel.
I got one, too.
She's arriving Saturday. She's asked me to meet her. She sounds homesick as hell. Let's both meet her, Kate. It'll make her happy. Shall we?
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Ladies, William Makepeace Thackeray once again, author of Vanity Fair. Today, we are concerned with a ghost. Real or fancied, it makes no difference. If one believes in such visitations, then the haunting is real, even if not real. Do I make myself clear? Dear me, I fear not. Disregard all that bumbling. I'll rewrite more simply. Lady Crawley believes in ghosts, most particularly the ghost of the first Lady Crawley. Sir Pitt, wretched man, told his second wife that his first lurks about the mansion. Recall, please, that Miss Rebecca Sharp badgered Sir Pitt till he agreed to undo his mischief.
Sir Pitt, tomorrow morning you will mend this abomination. You'll tell Lady Crawley you lied and make her believe you.
Tomorrow has come, but at the door of Lady Crawley's quarters, Sir Pitt bucked. He'd not, damn it all, be ordered about by his children's governess. Ah, Becky knows when to badger and when not.
Dear Sir Pitt,
Her ladyship is a poor, pitiful creature. Help her.
Dear Sir Pitt, that small endearment did its work. He will, you may be sure, strive to earn it. Now, Lady Crawley has been coaxed from behind the sofa, hiding there as fearful of husband as of ghost.
Lady Crawley, Sir Pitt has something very important to say to you. Will you listen?
There's no need. It's not his day to visit.
It's a very special day. Sir Pitt?
Lady C, wish to apologize for a little joke I told you.
Joke?
I didn't know you'd take it serious. joke, that's all.
Sir Pitt, you've not told her what the little joke was.
Haven't? Oh. Ah, First Lady Crawley. joke.
Excuse me, she is not a joke. Oh, no.
Indeed not, Lady Crawley. Sir Pitt, you must explain. A little more.
More? Oh. Lady Crawley, don't come back here, Lady Crawley.
What Sir Pitt is trying to say is that he was only fooling when he said her ghost comes back.
Yes, fooling, that's it.
Excuse me, Sir Pitt. She does.
No. I say she don't, and she don't.
If she came, your ladyship, Sir Pitt would surely see her, wouldn't he?
wouldn't
you, Sir Pitt?
Wouldn't dare come a-haunting and not show herself to me. Wouldn't dare.
But I, sometimes in the night, what is it that comes?
Well, it ain't her. You have my word on it.
A shadow cast by the tree through the window. Nothing more.
Excuse me, it is more. Oh, it is. She wants me gone from her house.
Ain't her house mine?
And I believe you told me she hated the house. Wouldn't want to come back.
I told you that.
Indeed you did. You remember?
Yes, did. Said the old hag hated Queen's Crawley. Wouldn't come back if she could.
She'd not? You're sure, Sir Pitt?
Hang it, I said I'm sure.
Oh, was a jest?
Didn't know you'd take it serious.
And he's very sorry he ever said any such foolish thing. Aren't you, Sir Pitt?
Very sorry, Lady C. Ask you to forgive an old fuddled fool.
Why, Sir Pitt, did you hear Miss Becky? Sir Pitt asked me to forgive him.
And I hope you will.
Oh, I do. It was a very funny jest, Sir Pitt. It's just I've forgot how to laugh.
Lady Crawley is at peace, but not, I fear, for long. Downstairs in the breakfast room, Captain Rawdon Crawley is not at peace. He must leave his Becky, return to London, lest his Aunt Matilda learn he is hopelessly, recklessly, desperately in love with her governess. Ladies, pardon me while I fetch more ink, and we shall proceed. What lies, white lies, surely have been bandied about in the name of love. Coached by Becky, Rawdon has told his aunt that he's courting one Lady Blessington. And Becky claims to adore a non-existent soldier by name Gordy. Now Rawdon must pretend despondency so his aunt will return him to London. Let's see if he can bring it off. Miss Crawley has just entered the breakfast room.
Rawdon, dear boy, good morning.
Morning, Auntie.
Not finished breakfast yet. I've mine in bed and am up and about. Has Rebecca had hers? Rawdon.
Oh, did you say something?
I asked if Rebecca has been to breakfast.
Rebecca.
Oh, why, you're not awake yet.
Awake? Never slept.
Not feeling well, love. Rawdon, are you not feeling well?
Quite well, thank you.
Then do perk up. I wanted you at Queen's Crawley to amuse me. You're far from amusing, dear boy.
Sorry, Auntie. I've tried. I cannot more. All night I swear I heard Lady Isabel crying. Come back to London.
Oh, rubbish. One would think you'd been away from her for half a year.
I have.
I find all this most bewildering. Last night when you told me of Lady Isabel, I did not gain the impression that your passion for her was so extraordinary.
Didn't want you to know. Can't pretend any longer.
Why should I not know? You've no reason to fancy I'd object to the match. She's of the nobility. She's well dowered. Why would I object? Yes, this all seems very strange. You're not yourself at all.
When one loves, one does not behave like oneself. One's heart is bursting.
Oh, great heavens. You're speechifying like your brother. I must say, Rawdon, if your expanded heart makes you this boring with Lady Isabel Blessington, your love will surely be unrequited.
If I'm boring, Auntie, then you don't want me here and I can go to London.
Nothing of the sort.
Hang it, why not?
La, you can't mope about sick with love the whole of the time. You'll bore even yourself. Now, where is Rebecca? She at least amuses me.
Rebecca? She's here. She amuses you. Why do you need me?
She's not here now, and I've twice asked you where she is.
She and Papa up with Lady Crawley mending his fences.
Oh, of course, I've forgotten. What a nasty piece of work he is, frightening the poor thing witless with ghost tales. Was he suffering severe pangs of conscience this morning?
Papa?
Oh, Rebecca has him under her thumb. And I don't know why she hasn't you.
She hasn't, and I'd be obliged to you if you stop trying to put me there.
Rawdon, you are so extreme about everything. I don't understand you anymore.
Sorry, forgive me. Don't know what I'm saying. I only know, I beg you, Lady Isabel and I implore you, let me go up to London.
I do not want to hear any more about it.
Good morning, Miss Crawley.
Oh, what a happy interruption.
What don't you want to hear any more about, so I shan't talk of it? Oh, morning, Captain.
Morning, Miss Sharp. Excuse me, ladies. I must write a most urgent letter.
To Lady Blessington, no doubt.
Oh, my, he's sour this morning. Wouldn't even look at me. What sin am I guilty of?
None, child, none. He's behaving like a small boy deprived of a sweetmeat and howling to quit Queen's Crawley for London.
I must say, if he means to be bad-tempered and bad company and altogether dreary, I do hope you send him packing. We'll have a much better time without him, shan't we?
Curious. You echo Rawdon. Most curious.
Oh, tut. The captain overplayed his hand and Becky hers. Now, my dear listeners, it is fruitless to conjecture what Miss Crawley will do. You're bound to come back tomorrow and even the next day to find out from your most devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
on. Eat up. You've only had 4 pancakes.
Aunt Maggie, I cannot. I just cannot eat anymore.
Bob really isn't used to such a big breakfast, Aunt Maggie.
A big breakfast is what everybody should have. Gives an energy for the rest of the day. This business of gulping down a cup of coffee and maybe a tiny piece of toast.
Look, I'm sorry, Aunt Maggie, but I really can't eat anymore. They're delicious. They really are. But you haven't even been here a week, and I put on 5 pounds.
Well, you look much better.
I don't feel better.
Well, if you don't care for my cooking.
Oh, no, no, Aunt Maggie. He didn't mean that at
all. No, I love your cooking. That's the trouble. I eat too much of it. Yeah, well, I can't discuss it anymore. I've got to get to the office. Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
Aunt Maggie. Oh, come on now. Give us a kiss.
Well.
I'll see you both tonight.
Here's your briefcase.
Thanks. So long.
Dear.
Well, now I'll get at the dishes.
Now, just let the dishes go, Amanda. I want to talk to you, Aunt Maggie, about what I said yesterday about your hair.
Oh, I've always worn my hair this way.
Yeah, I know that's the point. And, you know, I wouldn't say this if I didn't love you, but it's... Well, it's old-fashioned, for one thing.
I'm not exactly a spring chicken, you know, dear.
Oh, nonsense. Times have changed. Women dye their hair, get facelifts.
I certainly would never dye my hair.
Why?
I can remember when Mattie Pemberton dyed her hair. It must have been about 10, where the whole town talked about it. My mother said it was a sin.
Oh, forget your mother.
My mother was the loveliest person.
No, I didn't mean forget your mother. I just meant forget what she said, Aunt Maggie, for goodness sake. Now, why shouldn't a woman at any age want to look as attractive as possible? I mean, think about it. You really don't even make an attempt to, you know, look as pretty as possible.
Well, I'm afraid my sister Ruth was the beauty in the family.
And everyone told you that all the time, too, so you believed it.
I was always a plain one in the family.
Oh, nonsense. Everyone just told you that, too, so you believed it.
Well, now, it's a little late to start thinking I'm beautiful.
Well, why? How many women look beautiful with no makeup and their hair pulled skin-tight back, even... Now, look. Wouldn't I look awful this way?
No, I remember Dolores Del Rio. She looked beautiful that way.
Well, we have to face it, Aunt Maggie. Neither of us is as beautiful as Dolores Del Rio.
I remember her in Ramona. Must have been the Silent, back in the 20s.
Well, I saw a picture of her recently. She looks just as lovely. But I'm going to get my hair done today, and I want you to come with me and get your hair cut and styled and touched up, as they say these days. No one mentions the word hair dye.
Why, I couldn't go back home. What would people say?
Oh, stop caring about what people would say. Anyhow, your friends would probably be envious and go get the same thing done. And you're going to be here through Christmas. If you don't like it, it's time to grow it out. And go back to being old, plain Jane. Now, you can be mad at me if you want to, but I... Well?
What time is your appointment?
10:30.
Make one for me.
I already made it. Oh, really, Aunt May? You've no idea what it does for a woman to get a whole new hairstyle. You feel like a new person.
Yes,
you really do.
You know, I think maybe I need some new clothes, too.
Now, there. You see? Right away. We'll stop at the dress shop on the way home.
Now, what kind of a hairstyle will I get?
Well, we'll look at some pictures of styles, and we'll ask Charles. He's very good. Now, come on, let's get the dishes done.
You know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but I guess I just needed somebody to push me into it.
I know, and you need somebody to go with you, too. Now, let's hurry. We're due at Charles at 10:30. Charles, what do you suggest, Brent? May I get permanent?
Oh, no. She has very strong hair. Natural wave, in fact. I think it should be cut and styled very simply, so it's easy for her to take care of herself.
Here's a hairstyle that looks nice in this book.
That's Anne Margaret. I mean, I think that's a little fancy. Now, what can we do about color, Charles? I mean, her hair is so half and half, it looks kind of drab and mousy. Would it have to be stripped?
Stripped? What do you mean, stripped?
No. Just a one-color process to give it some life.
Aunt Maggie, if you stop worrying now, just leave things to Charles.
Now, what is that girl doing over there?
Well, that's Chris. Now, she's putting some false eyelashes on a customer.
Really? Mm-hmm. False eyelashes? My.
Aunt Maggie, forget false eyelashes. Now, let's not overdo it.
I've never had any eyelashes at all. Mine were always just stubs. My sister Ruth's were practically up to her eyebrows.
Well, Aunt, I don't think really that false eyelashes...
No, I guess not.
Now, look, we've got eyelashes of all lengths. Chris could put some on, trim them down, way down, so they look natural.
You want some false eyelashes, Aunt Maggie?
I'll tell you what I want. I want the works.
Well, let's get going.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance.
Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, honey. Well, I'm surprised to see you in the kitchen. This past week, it's been Aunt Maggie bustling about. Hi, honey.
Hello.
What's the matter?
I feel like Henry Higgins.
Henry Higgins? Who's Henry Higgins?
My fair lady.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, Miss Eliza Doolittle will be coming down the stairs any minute.
What are you talking about?
Well, you'll see. I wanted to be a surprise.
Oh, I remember you persuaded her to go with you to the beauty parlor this morning. You persuaded her, huh?
I did.
Well, didn't it turn out to be all right?
You'll see.
Well, for Pete's sake, don't keep me in suspense. Doesn't her new hairstyle or whatever she got look all right? Wasn't it a success?
It was more than a success. If we were in show business, we'd say we had a hit on our hands.
Has he come home yet? I thought I heard the car.
Yes, Aunt Maggie, Bob's home. You want to make a grand entrance?
Yes, of course.
All right, come on in the living room, dear. I'm sure she doesn't want to make her entrance into the kitchen. In fact, I haven't heard the word kitchen or food since we got home. Come on,
okay.
Come on.
Where are you?
We're coming into the front hall, and then we're going into the living room. Come on down the stairs, Aunt Maggie.
I'm coming.
Now, brace yourself. You've got a brand new Aunt Maggie, dear.
Tell him to close his eyes until I get down there.
Yeah, all right. Close your eyes, dear.
Okay.
All right. Close them.
All right. Yeah.
His eyes are closed. Come on. Well, it's hardly Easter, but it's certainly a parade. Open your eyes. There she is.
Wow. Aunt Maggie, you look smashing.
Well, it's all thanks to Pig.
Oh, not entirely.
Oh, your hair, your clothes. I mean, oh, boy.
Take a look at my eyes. My eyes.
Well, I am.
You see anything?
Well, you've got some makeup on for a change.
Too much?
No. Very subdued, very tasteful.
Oh. Should be. We were at the cosmetic counter for an hour.
Uh-huh. You don't see anything else about my eyes?
Well, they're sparkling, as usual. They're very...
I have eyelashes for the first time in my life, but I've got some. Mine were always so stubby you couldn't see them. Now look.
Aunt Maggie has false eyelashes on, dear.
What? False?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't look it. They look just like eyelashes.
Well, Chris did a good job. She trimmed them to look natural, like Aunt Maggie's hair.
That's perfect. It's soft, natural. You look like $1 million, kid. How about a date, huh? And I also noticed you have a new dress, and it's lovely.
Oh, I have several new dresses. Why don't I put them on and model them for you?
Fine, you do that, Aunt Maggie, and I'll get dinner.
Oh, dinner. I was going to make fried chicken potato pancakes.
I'll do it now, not the pancakes. We can do without those.
Yes, I don't want to put on any weight. My new clothes won't fit.
Right. Aunt Maggie, you look beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Nobody ever told me that before. My sister Ruth was the beauty in the family.
Aunt Maggie, what did I tell you about...
I know, you're right. But you know what I'd like? I'd like to get some really good photographs taken, and then have some small ones made and send them out in my Christmas card.
Good, that's a good idea.
I think I'll send a big one to my sister Ruth, maybe an 8x10, even if it costs more. Uh-huh. And I think I'll buy a nice silver frame for it, because I don't think Ruth would have it framed. She may be the prettiest one in the family, but she's always been as tight as a tick. Well, I'll go and put on my new clothes and model them for Bob.
Fine, you do that. I want to see them all.
I better go get the chicken started, I guess.
What were you worried about? Aunt Maggie looks great. She really does. You and Charles and Chris and the dress people and the cosmetic counter, all of you did a fantastic job. So what's your worry? What do you mean?
Do you know you don't have any ashtrays in the guest room?
Ashtrays? Aunt Maggie hasn't taken up smoking.
That's what I meant. Now, you can cope with it. I'll get dinner.
Aunt Maggie, I gave up smoking.
Well, I'm going to try it. After 70 years of not smoking, I don't think it's going to kill me. Somebody said life begins at 80, and I've got 10 years to practice.
What'll I do?
Get her an ashtray. I told you that changing a hairstyle makes all the difference in a woman. You know, I had my hair done today, and you didn't even notice. I think I'll change my hairstyle.
Oh, please don't. I can only handle one new woman at a time.
Astrid!
I'm coming!
Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't had dinner for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
How many in your class, Jennifer?
23, counting me.
Well, we're not going to leave you out, honey.
I counted 24 apples.
Mm-hmm. Should we make one extra?
Yes, for Daddy.
Oh, it's been a long time since your father had a taffy apple.
Is it all right for me to put sticks in the apples now?
Yep, I think we're ready for that. The syrup is coming along fine.
This is fun, isn't it?
The most, honey. Now, be careful. Make sure the sticks go in far enough so the apple stays on.
Like that?
Ah, that's perfect. Where's Charlie?
Asleep in his basket, I think. Let me see. My, you sleep a lot, Charlie. Maybe he'd like a drink when he wakes up.
Maybe.
Do you think he wants some milk, too?
Not while he's sleeping, honey.
Have you noticed, Mom? He doesn't wobble so much when he walks.
Yes.
There you are, fresh water. Why does he sleep with his paws on his eyes?
I don't really know, honey. I think all kittens do it.
I'll ask Daddy. Oh, could we make another extra apple?
Sure. I think we have some more in the cellar.
I don't want to leave Susie out.
Ah, that's thoughtful, dear.
Not really, Mom.
Oh?
Charlie got into her room, and he found her pantyhose.
Oh, no. Not more than one pair, I hope.
Just one, but, oh, it's a mess.
Well, one candy apple might make things a little easier, but do me a favor, will you, Jen?
If it's within my power.
It is. Tell Susie first, then give her the candy apple.
Why?
Well, if you give her the apple first, and you know about the pantyhose, and Susie doesn't...
I just want to keep her from getting mad at me, Mom.
I know, but aren't you tricking her? Sort of, well, cheating just a little bit?
If she gets mad at me, do I have to give her the apple?
Well, why don't you see how you feel at the time? Maybe Susie won't mind so much.
If she'd put them in her drawer...
Now, it's her room, Jennifer.
I miss Bobby. When will we be home?
Thanksgiving time.
And we're going up to the cabin, aren't we?
We are.
For a real Thanksgiving.
As real as we can make it.
You'll be all right.
Well, of course I... Oh. Now, don't worry, Jennifer.
When you came back from the cabin before, you went to the hospital again.
I know, but I'm not going to make a habit of it. I promise.
I don't care what you think, Jason. I will do what I think is best for Emily.
Marsh, this does not involve treatment.
Well, it certainly does.
We're talking about consultation.
What you're talking about is treating your wife like a child or some incompetent.
Why? Just because I don't see any need to tell her you want to talk to Szabo?
I mean, Emily has a right to know she's being discussed, that I'm consulting another doctor. And you'd agree with me if she weren't your wife.
Maybe.
Maybe hell, Jason. Oh, I'm sorry. Look, if I didn't have such a good opinion of myself, I'd tell you to take her to another doctor.
Well, I thought you were the best.
Well, some other diagnostician, someone you don't know, might be able to handle you better. Why do I have to waste time on you? Emily's my concern.
All right, Marsh. When does Szabo get back?
In a week. How is Emily?
She's fine, as long as she takes the medication.
Uh-huh. No observable side effects?
Uh-uh, none.
Listen, Jace, you didn't say anything to Angela about, well, what I practically had ruled out, a brain tumor on the basis of the test.
No, I didn't say anything, but Angela is very good at picking up on things. She finally guessed we must have speculated about something.
Well, I've gone over every test and x-ray we've done, and there is absolutely no sign of a tumor.
But the symptoms,
Mark. Well, that's why I want to talk to someone else. I prefer Szabo. Do you have any other suggestions?
Would I dare make one? No. Szabo is fine with me.
And you'll tell Emily?
We'll see.
If you don't, I will. And Jason, that's a promise. Ginger, I never have a drink at lunch. It's not fair to my patients.
Oh, I'm not sure I want a drink alone.
Well, why not? I'm sure some of the women on the committee will have had one at least.
Oh, you don't have to use that tone, Marsh.
I was just making an observation.
Mrs. Robert Carter will be there.
Oh, you mean Jason's stepmother?
Yes. I think this arts committee can be very important.
How do you mean?
Well, most of the members of prominent club women and their husbands are all important.
Oh, I see.
It's a way to be helpful to you, Marsh. Contacts like that can really further your career.
Well, I wish you'd do it for yourself, Ginger. My professional career doesn't need any booster shots.
I'm trying to be helpful, and all I get from you are insults.
Oh, Ginger, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
Maybe you think Angela Fairchild would be a better wife for you.
Shall we order now?
I'd like an answer.
Ginger, how can you expect things to get better between us when you keep wallowing in your jealousy?
You think I enjoy it.
Well, I'm beginning to think you get some kind of a kick out of it. Why else do you do it?
We did 25 candy apples, Daddy.
Yes, so I noticed when I walked in, it smells like a candy store.
Here's one for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
You mean that?
No, not really, Jen.
I notice people say that when they really mean that's nice. Well, thank you. Why is that?
Let me think that over for a minute.
Is Aunt Angela going to stay with us?
Well, yes, honey, as long as she wants to. Why? Why do you ask?
She's very good company, you know.
Yes, I've noticed that.
It's almost like having an extra mother.
Oh? Do you think you need two mothers?
Not most of the time.
But there are times?
When mother gets tired or has a headache, Aunt Angela comes in very handy.
Oh, very handy.
Hey, huh? I think Charlie is hungry.
Oh, my, he's such a problem.
Yes, he's a very little kitten.
Jen, do you think it's too big a job for you?
No, he's a very little kitten, Daddy.
Uh-huh.
But he eats a lot.
You know, I didn't realize until we got Charlie what Jennifer really needed.
Well, I thought she was a pretty busy little girl.
In a way, but now she's got something smaller than she is to take care of.
And loving it.
Mm-hmm. Caroline called me today.
Oh? And how are things at River Run?
Pretty busy. The party to welcome Kurt is in the works.
Well, I guess Lynn has finally won Dad over.
Huh? Not really. Caroline says Robert is trying to maintain a certain aloofness about the whole thing.
Well, he certainly can't think Kurt is just going to disappear.
Oh, if Kurt goes off, he'll be sure to take Lynn, and Robert will be the loser.
Well, Dad will think of something, I'm sure. I'll bet on that. When is the party?
Day after tomorrow. Whole family's invited.
Oh, well, that's nice. That means an early evening, then.
But Jason, when did you become a party pooper?
Well, I wasn't thinking of myself.
Now, don't look at me.
Em, please, honey, you should get plenty of rest.
Uh-huh.
Did you take your medicine?
Yes, doctor.
How's the numbness in your hand?
I don't feel a thing.
Em, this is not a joking matter.
Oh, Jason, now you wouldn't be so edgy if some other patient said that.
No, probably not.
Look, whatever is wrong with me, Jason, we can't let it become a dreary presence in our home for our family.
Than to Hold features Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, William Redfield as Marsh, Robert Phelps as Kurt, Rosemary Rice as Lynn, Sherita Bauer as Ginger, Morgan Fairchild as Anne. Also appearing were Shelley Bruce, Vicky Vola, and Ian Martin. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.